Well, thank you, ladies. I appreciate that very, very much. And let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We've been in this passage before, and I saw something there while we were studying, and I wanted to, Lord brought it back to my remembrance here. I was preparing for Mother's Day, and I want to read some verses for you. We'll actually cover a good bit of chapter 17 here. But let me read verse 8 through 15, right in the middle of the story. We have Elijah, he's the prophet. And of course, Ahab is the king. He's married to Jezebel, and they're a mess. And Elijah said that, God decided that he was going to try to get their attention. God can't get our attention, he does things to get our attention. And so he was going to give a drought. There was going to be no rain. It was going to be over 3 years here. There would be no rain. And Elijah announces that to Ahab. And so then, of course, Ahab's not very happy about it. But there's some things happen when Elijah says there's not going to be any rain. Guess who else is not going to have any rain? Elijah. You know, when our country, you know, and has problems, it really affects all of us. But I also have found that God takes care of his own. And so in chapter 17, verse number 8, it has dried up and he's been being kept by the ravens, actually, not the ones down here in Baltimore. But he'd been kept by the ravens. And verse number 8, that kind of dried up. In verse 7, it kind of dried up. So verse 8 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him," Elijah, "saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Hey, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." You know, I wouldn't mind having a drink. And by the way, bring a little pastry to go along with you if you can or something. Give me something to eat here. And verse 12, "And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, and we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Let's pray. And we're going to talk about the widow of faith. We can say the widow's faith. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the truths. And you say faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Lord, there's times when we just really feel like we're between a rock and a hard place. We feel like we have nothing. And sometimes you feel like the Lord is asking us to give that away. And it's hard to understand sometimes. Lord, I thank you that you're faithful. Lord, I want to be encouragement to our folks here. And may they, especially the folks who are still raising kids. But Lord, for those who are not raising kids, there's some principles in here we can learn. So Lord, I pray that you'll teach us your principles. I need your Holy Spirit. You know I do. So I'm going to be a blessing to these folks. Put on your hands, we'll give you the praise. And Lord, to be one that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that you'll work on their heart and draw them to yourself. Maybe today will be the day of their salvation. Again, Lord, we give you the praise for what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. There's a special love and a desire and ability to nurture given to women by God. And then it's expressed so clearly in the heart of a mother. There's a bond between mother and child that is protected. It's held dear by the mother. There's a bear in the heart of every woman that raises up when her cubs are threatened. She'd rather die herself than allow someone to harm her little ones. A mother with these natural affections will do almost anything to protect her young from hurt and hardship and heartbreak. But depending on her spiritual moorings, a mother may even fight against God when she sees him as a threat. If her lack of faith will not allow her to trust her child to the Lord, she'll actually often see God as a threat. This kind of discloses what and who she truly trusts. In the attempt to protect and preserve her child, a mother may seek to protect her child from the will of God. We can easily forget that the will of God is what is best for anyone, including our children. By faith, as difficult as it may seem, we need to turn our children over to the Lord and follow the Lord ourselves, as well as put our children in the hands of the Lord by leading them in obedience to the Lord. Let's kind of walk through this. I wish I had a nice little alliterated outline, but I don't. But I think you get the idea. First thing, number one, obeying the Lord can be scary. It can be scary for any of us. Obeying the Lord can be scary. Look what it says there in chapter 17, verse number 1. Now, of course, Elijah is standing up. He's the prophet. Remember, a prophet is the one who tells the people what God wants the people to know. The priest is the one who takes the people and kind of intercedes to take us to God. So the prophet is telling us what God wants us to know. And, of course, God's been trying to tell Ahab and Jezebel, need to get straightened out, and nothing's happening. And so Elijah says, I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're going to have no rain for 3 years. Look what it says in verse 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. You're not going to see anything, not even the dew in the morning. I mean, it's going to be dry. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have, look, commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, Elijah, I don't know whether he thought about it or not, but the fact is, when he went and told Ahab there's going to be no rain until for quite a while, I don't know if it crossed through his brain or not, but that means him too. And sometimes it's difficult to obey the Lord. He was going to obey the Lord, tell him that's what it has to be. There's no rain, but that means it's going to make life difficult on him too. So God said, but don't worry about that. I've got a bunch of birds who's going to come and feed. Now, that's not necessarily the greatest smorgasbord you want. In fact, ravens were considered an unclean bird because they were scavengers. I'm not sure what he brought. You ever go to Texas Roadhouse? There's a thing on the menu. It's called roadkill. And I think it's a hamburger, and they beat it all up because you can't tell really what it is, you know, I'm not sure what he ate. I don't know what the ravens might have brought. I don't know where they got the bread. I mean, out of somebody's window had the bread cooling by the way. I don't know. But God did take care of Elijah. But you know, it's kind of scary. Elijah did what God wanted him to do. What was that? Stop the rain to teach King Ahab and the rest of Israel that that if they wanted to go have God's blessing on them, they were going to have to confess and forsake their sins. Something's going to have to change. And even though he knew it was going to be most likely make life hard on him as well as on the ones he was directed against. So Elijah made the pronouncement anyway, trust the Lord to work things out and take care of him. That's a lot of things. Listen, right there. We do what he said, knowing that it may make life difficult. Now, it's one thing to throw yourself on the mercy and grace of God, and it's another thing to throw your children on the mercy and the grace of God. It is as if we are willing to gamble, if you will, our lives on God. But I'll tell you what, it's another thing to gamble our children's lives and futures on God. Now, it's not a gamble, but you know what I mean. I mean, I remember when I was young, well, if it's just me and I'm single, we can do so and so, we can make it work. And I remember thinking, well, when Jack and I got together, she's a hard worker and so forth, and, you know, she's in this as much as I am, and that's fine. But when I decided to quit my job and take Esther, she was about 3-4 months old, and my oldest son, Sterling, he was about 4, and head off to the seminary and didn't know whether we'd ever come back and all those kind of things, that was a different gamble. In fact, some people kind of said, you're kind of foolish. Why are you doing this to your children? It's scary to trust God. But it's even scarier when you've got this little thing that calls you mommy, a little thing calls you daddy, and you're responsible for them, and you're going out on a limb trusting God. I mean, a lot of times I've heard folks, well, you know what? I know this is wrong, but what else do I got to do? I got 2 mouths at home to feed. I have no other choice. So your choice is to do wrong or trust God. That's mean, preacher. That's mean. It's the truth. It is hard. And I wish I could say that I've never gone the wrong direction. But I don't think I can. Trusting God can be scary. Number two, the widow had nothing. The widow had nothing. Well, Elijah's not out here stopping the rain, is he? Look at verse 8. Of course, verse 7, the water dried up and the ravens are gone. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That's interesting. You know what the word widow means? Of course, we know what we'll say, well, widow means that she's lost her husband. Well, I understand that. The issue is that when a woman in that culture lost her husband, she basically lost everything. She literally couldn't go out and get a job down at Walmart or someplace. I mean, where their culture was, the man was supposed to take care of the lady, and she really couldn't do a lot of things. She was destitute. That word widow has with it the understanding of destitution, desolation, a discarded person, someone who feels forsaken. They have nothing. So when you read the Bible, it talks about a widow. We're talking about somebody who they're saying is probably walking around the same dress she had 30 years ago. It's thread worn. It's bare. She's getting from hand to mouth. She's the one that follows the reapers around the field and kind of gleans the little extra things around the edges so she has something to eat. This was a widow lady. Now, it was already bad. And then it stopped raining. And now the brook is dried up. So it's been dry, it's been bad for a while. So she couldn't even go out and gather the mulberries at the corner of the hedgerow or anything. You know what I mean? There's nothing out there. Have you ever felt you didn't have enough to take care of yourself? Much less have something to give to the Lord. I remember there was times. Back when we were at seminary, I had it all figured out how I was going to make this work. I gotten a job. I called a guy who was supposed to get the job was supposed to pay $13.50 an hour. This was in 1990. It wasn't bad. $13.50 an hour, 15 minutes away from school, and I was going to, and he said, go and get a nice apartment for your wife. It costs a little bit more, but fine, you're going to be making money. Don't even come talk to me until you get in town and get your apartment, and I will take care of it. This was a guy at the college. And so I said, okay. So we got there, and we got our apartment, went in to talk to him, and he said, well, sit down and see if you're as ugly sitting down as you are standing up. And that's how he greeted me. Anyway, he says, well, that thing, that job didn't work out, but that's all right. We got something up. We got a plan B. It pays $7.50. It's an hour and a quarter away. Toll roads. I had borrowed about $4,000 from my dad to help pay the bills and with what we're going to do and so forth. When we got out there, it wasn't long until the car broke down. And this broke, and that was a problem, and this bill showed up, and insurance we didn't think about, and the money was gone. That was supposed to help pay for the tuition. It was gone before we ever got started. We're motoring along. It's tight, but we got through till Christmas. Came home, had Christmas here. We got back, and all kind of broke loose. Had a little accident, ran the back of a guy at one of those toll booths, you know, you go down to pick up, and he stopped just that quick, you know, and I didn't want to put it on my insurance, so I paid for that, lost my job, the recession hit, and they laid me off, one of the last ones, so we were already short on money, and then I lost my job. Janet's dad was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and had gone into unconsciousness in a hospital in New York and didn't have any money to go see him. Her mom had been going back and forth to the hospital and she got so tired she ran off the road and crashed her car and broke her neck. And she's in another hospital, another part of New York State. We don't have enough money to get out of town. And you know, you could say, well, what in the world did you bring your kids out here? What in the world were you doing? I was doing what God called me to do. Let me tell you this. I'll be honest with you. The Bible says, trust me, try me, prove me, saith the Lord. Janet was working across the street. She was working for minimum wage. I don't know what minimum wage was back then. You remember what it was? It's $3.50, $4. You know, part-time as a cook at a daycare. We tithed. Tithed their money. Listen, when you're in trouble, the last thing you want to do is get crossways with God. So I'm not stealing his money. That's just dumb. I'm sorry. I know we all have, that's a temptation. But by that time, I learned that's just dumb. Last thing I want to do is get crossways with God because he's my hope, my help. Because everybody else is pulling the rug out from underneath of me. The fact is, I could have called my dad, and he would have written out a check, but I didn't want to do that. And you've heard, folks have been here a while, you know, I decided God's going to prove himself. I'm not going to stand in the pulpit and say, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. When I had a problem, I called my dad. Not everybody has a dad that can write a check out like that. Well, you all have this dad, or you can have. We left town, we didn't owe anybody anything. We had enough money from her check to buy gas to get back to Maryland. That is all we had. In the middle of all that, the people who were we did have a house that we could have sold, but we were hoping to come back to it in Maryland. But the rent they were paying was paying the taxes and the mortgage. And they said, bye, we're going to have to leave, and we're not going to pay the last 2 months worth of. So I now had rent bill, school bill, a mortgage, and no job, and a wife and two kids. So don't tell me, I don't know what it's like to get in a pinch. When I stand here and I tell you that God can take care of you, I am telling you from my heart, from experience, that God will see you through. Sometimes you feel forsaken. Sometimes you feel like you have nothing. And then you think God is asking something from you. Look what it says here. Verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman of all people. There's got to be somebody in town that's got some money. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. You know where Zarephath was? It was in the area of Zidon. That was not a Jewish area. That wasn't Israeli. That's where Jezebel was from. The woman that's going to try to kill him. The woman who couldn't give a hoot for, in fact, she did not care about things of God. She was angry at God. She hated Jehovah. But he says, I got a widow lady over here in this town where they're kind of, it's like God telling Netanyahu to go over to the Gaza Strip, find a widow lady, take care of him. You know what I'm saying? Go right in the middle of all the Arabs and there'll be somebody to take care of you. But he goes. I told you, sometimes faith is scary. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he said, oh, by the way, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord, capital O-L-O-R-D, Jehovah, as Jehovah thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a curse and behold, and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. And we're going to have our last meal. And after that, I'm not sure what we're doing. I guess we're going to die. Elijah said unto her, don't worry about that. You go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Wow. How dare he ask me to give to him? Who does he think he is? I mean, he just walks into town. He says, can I have a drink of water? You know how precious water is right now? But I think I have some, so I'll go get some water. And then the guy has the nerve, hey, would you bring a Danish along with it? Give me a little piece of cake. Give me a little bread. He says, I need this more than he does. He was probably a typical Baptist preacher. He'd been feeding off the ravens and bread. You heard the story about the three little boys that went to show and tell? One came in and said, this is my mother's menorah, and I'm Jewish. The next little boy got up and says, I'm Catholic, and this is my mother's crucifix. And the next little boy says, I'm Baptist. This is my mother's casserole. Listen, how dare we think, watch, how dare he think that he needs this more than I do? I mean, I got a boy here. I got a responsibility. But wait a minute, how dare we think that God would not take care of his own? Number three, the widow had a responsibility. Hang tight with this. Hang tight with me. It's hard. The widow had a responsibility, first of all, to her son. In her mind, her first responsibility was her son. She was to care for him, provide for him the best that she could. Make sure she did that which was good for his welfare. She says, I don't know what we're going to do. All we've got is this little handful of grain, of meal and oil. We're going to mix it together. We're going to cook it. We only need a couple sticks because that's all it's going to take. We're going to make our last meal, and I don't know after that. I have no idea where the next mouthful is coming from. Been there. Well, I tell you, we ate a lot of beans and rice when we were out there. Worked hard in beans and rice. I was probably in the best shape I'd ever been. I'm still in shape, rounds of shape. But I was in good shape out there. She says, I don't know what I'm going to have. I don't know where the next meal's coming from. Now, she didn't know this, but it's the same place the rest of the meals come from. Give us this day our daily bread. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. She had a responsibility. She had a responsibility to the Lord. She just didn't know it yet. Look what it says in verse 9. He says, you go tell her, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. She didn't know it yet. God had it all. You would think that he commanded her, she would know about it. But just as he commanded the ravens, he says, I've got a job for the ravens to do. I've got a job for this widow lady to do. A lot of times God has a job for us to do. We just don't know all the steps. He calls us to do some things, and it's right to do. We don't know where it's going to lead. But I'll tell you what Elijah did say. He says, you go do this first. Don't be afraid, because you'll be eaten until the rain starts flying again. Sometimes our responsibilities seem to be in conflict. Sometimes it appears that we cannot serve God and also tend to our other responsibilities. How is she supposed to give the man of God something to eat and still tend to her responsibility for her son? And you know, we can't serve God and mammon. You know what I'm saying? You feel like, well, I ought to serve God and I ought to... but I got to deal with this, you know, this, I mean, you got to eat. So what do? We serve God, and God takes care of the mammon. We serve God, and God takes care of the day-to-day needs. See, take no thought, what you shall eat, what you shall put on, what you drink, what you should put on. The Gentiles seek these things. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hang tight with me. The widow had nothing. The widow had a responsibility. And number four, you could think this is a contradiction, but listen to me. The widow had everything. Because the widow had the promise of God. Right there is where you say amen. Sorry to force. The widow had everything because the widow had the word of God on it. The promise of God. God had given her a promise. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. You go ahead. I'm not taking all of it, but make me a little one. But we don't have hardly anything to share to begin with. Make me a little cake first and bring it unto me. Now, it's not that he's being selfish. He's a spokesman for God. He represents the Lord. He says, I want you to give to God first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, won't be wear out, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I know we talked about this in this passage before. Do you have a God? Do you have a God? If you have the Lord, then you have the one that owns everything. Then you have the access to all the blessings in heaven and the wealth of all the earth. And he's not going to give it all to you, because these other people need some too. And we ruin ourselves if we had it all. But he's going to give us what we need. The widow had everything. Number five. By faith, she gave all that she had to the Lord. By faith, she gave all that she had to the Lord. Look at verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen,
You say, well, you don't really live that way.
Absolutely, I'm going to live that way. Absolutely, that's the way we raised our kids. Listen, the first thing I'm going to do, this is not a message on tithing. It's a message on trusting the Lord. But that's part of it. Put the Lord first in your life and you'll be surprised. But if you don't if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in other words, his authority in your life and to obey him and obey what he says is right, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto you. If you want all these things to be added unto you, you cannot bypass the seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We bypass seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We bypass that, and then we wonder why God is not holding up his end of the deal. We're not in a deal. You want to see God really do something in your life? Now listen, he does send the rain on the just and the unjust. Well, I'm getting along. I'm making it. I'm surviving. There's something in our life that we're not surrendering to him. And we're not coming up where we need to be. She gave all that she had. Watch. By faith, she risked everything she had. I'm going to use that word risk because that's the way we feel. By faith, she risked the life of her son. Well, you say, well, he was going to die anyway. Maybe not. Maybe something could happen in the next few days and her son would live rather than die. You never know. And, of course, you don't want to allow him to die a day too soon, do you? So, of course, you don't. And so you're going to say, well, I'm going to give him, I'm not going to give it to the preacher. I'm not asking for your money. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to give it to God. I'm going to give it to my son. She risked her son to save her son. She risked her son on the promise of God. Well, listen, there's decisions we have to make sometimes that don't make any sense in the world. But it's as clear as it can be in the Word of God, and we need, you see, and people say, well, that can't be what it meant. That's just stupid. Nobody would do that. Well, that probably is what it meant. How could a loving mother take that chance on her son's life? To take a risk on God, watch, is no risk at all. Number six. By faith, the widow walked with God. With her decision, the widow put her and her son on a journey. You're telling me that if I do this, you're going to take care of us until all this mess is over. That's what we're saying. All right, there you go. That's what he's saying. With her decision, the widow put them on a journey. Day by day, the risk was always before them. Well, we had enough today. Wonder what tomorrow's going to be like. Have you ever been there? I've been there. Well, we got through today. Wonder what tomorrow's going to be. Take no thought for tomorrow. For sufficient unto it is the evil thereof. Give us this day our daily bread. God takes care of it. Listen, he expects us to live by faith. The just are to live by faith. She would have been seen as foolish to the world. She took food right out of her son's mouth and gave it to the Lord. How dare she? She has a responsibility. Shouldn't God give to the widow first so she has something to give to her son and give God that which is left over? It's hard stuff, isn't it? We've all lived here. This is talking about saying whether we really truly believe God or whether we don't. I'll guarantee that if I had told some people, I know some people, if I had told them we were tithing on the little bit that she was bringing home, and I didn't have a job, I had two kids that we need to feed, and you're tithing on that? That's just stupid. God's not expecting you to do that. He wants to, sure he is, and he wants to show himself mighty. And give a couple applications. We think we love our children, but God loves them more. Our love for them is just a drop of dew, and the love of God is like the sea. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Don't protect your children from God. Listen, those kids have heard the story. They know the story. You weren't there. You weren't born yet. She didn't know any different. Her favorite word was eat. Her first word was eat. We had this little walker you're not allowed to have anymore. And Mom and Janet would say, it's time to eat. And she'd come right around there. Eat! You know, and he ran around her walker. They didn't know. They didn't have any worries at all because they figured it was going to be there. Because Mom and Dad are there. Why do we worry? Dad's here. Dad's here. Well, you're going to tell my child they're a sinner and they're going to go to hell if they don't get saved? How dare you? No, I'm going to tell them because I want them saved. You're going to tell my child they're a sinner because they lie? Yeah. We're not going to be able to give our kids everything they want if we give our tithe. They're not going to love us. Prosperity of fools shall destroy them, and foolish is bound in the heart of a child. They don't need everything they want. It's not good for them to have everything they want. Give them something to look forward to. I'm serious. I had a thing, I remember years ago, my little piece of stick with some a little bumps carved in there, and it had a little propeller type thing here, and you have another stick and you do it. It's called a yeehaw whimmy diddle. I thought that thing was so cool. You do this and it makes a little propeller go around here. It's called a yeehaw whimmy diddle. Yeah. And I played with that plan. Listen, kids like to play with the boxes. They learn to think. You don't give them everything they want. You're going to teach your children it is foolish to turn your life over to the Lord and trust it to provide and protect them if you don't watch out. We're going to teach them to have the same anxieties and fears that you have. You're going to teach your kids that obeying God is a risk that's too dangerous to take. We're going to end up training our kids to put self first and the Lord second. When you protect your children from the risk of trusting God, all they have left is this world to trust in. This world passes away. But the word of God shall not pass away. When we protect our children from the risk of trusting God, we're also putting a shield up against the leadership and the blessings of God. Putting God first is never a risk for your kids. I remember when we came here, I know you've heard these stories before, but one of the things, we were coming from a church where they had, you know, they have children's activities with 300 kids in it. You know, the teen had 120 folks in the teens, and we're coming up here, and there was 25 people here. But I felt the calling of God to be here, and I remember thinking then, if this is the wrong decision, it's probably the worst thing I'd ever do to my kids. But if it is the right decision, if it's God's will for me to be here, it will be the best thing that could ever happen to my kids. And I believe it's been that. I believe with all my heart. And they've learned to trust the Lord, and He'll take care of us. And we're going to serve Him. And to trust Him, and even if it means we don't have some of the things other people have, it's no sacrifice. The blessings far outweigh the sacrifice. Other things may cause a problem in the process, but seeking God was not the problem. Not going on a lot of vacations because we really couldn't afford them was not the problem. Seeking the Lord first, watch me, saved her son two times. If she had not given the Lord first, they would have been dead. Right? They would have eaten their cake and died. But she said, okay, I'll die first and see if God keeps me alive. But not only that, real quick, look at verse 17. Came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? We forget so quickly that God loves us. Well, I did this, and now it's like we're never supposed to have any problems again. What world do you live on? So you're going to bring up all my sins, and now you're going to take it out on my son. And he said unto her, "Give me." That wasn't it, by the way. Give me thy son. He took him out of her bosom, carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. There was an immediate salvation, but there was a second deliverance. He would not have been alive for the second deliverance if the son had not been saved in the first place. The widow mom saved her son from death by obeying the Lord. Otherwise, they would have run out of food to both been dead. The second need of deliverance was not God's fault or the man of God's fault. The second death there is just part of life in an old sin-cursed world. She did not deserve no more problems just because she had served the Lord at one time. Problems come. God does not owe us anything. But on the other hand, this difficult time gave God the opportunity to show himself mighty again. Elijah took, verse 23, Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber of the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, watch, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord, is in thy mouth is truth. The fact that they survived the famine was not a fluke. The raising of her child from the dead solidified her faith in the Lord. Now, folks, we need the widow's faith. It's not dangerous to give our kids into the hands of the Lord. It is wrong not to. That boy would have been dead a whole lot sooner. Some may need to give their grown children to the Lord. If you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus as Savior, I suggest that the Lord is calling you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you need salvation, today is the day. Now, folks, entrust your children, your grandchildren, grown or young, entrust them to the Lord. That may mean there's some hard decisions you might need to make. It may be just the opposite of what the world's making. You're not losing them. You're keeping them. Still expect temptations and tribulations from the world. If God can see them through one time, he can see them through every time. That's all part of it. We think we have nothing, but actually we have everything because we have the Lord. We need to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the trust that our folks, many of our folks, have in you. But Lord, just like that lady, she saw you work, and then when another crisis came along, all that went out the window. She wondered if you even cared anymore, but you do. Lord, I pray you'll take this special time to speak to hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Now, I don't know whether it was with your children or some other circumstance, but there's been some time when you have needed to make a decision. And maybe you're right here right now. You need to make a decision. The obvious decision from the world's perspective is to do one thing. But to do what God wants you to do seems like you're going in the wrong direction. You need to make a decision. I would say, I need to make one of those decisions right now. Would you pray for me, preacher? See, I have a decision I need to make. There's a decision that seems obvious. Just lift your hand up there if there's anybody. There's one. There's another one. There's another one. I've got a decision I need to make. And going God's way seems like it's the opposite direction. But I know it's right. Pray for me, preacher. Would you say that's you? You can put your hands down. If you're here this morning, you say, I don't know Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to know then. Get that settled. Anybody like that in here this morning? Heads are bowed and her eyes are closed. Just stand to her feet. Piano organ is going to begin to play. And if the altar is open, there may be some things you need to bring to the altar. Maybe make an altar right where you are. Some decision you make. Say, well, I'm going.